Alrighty. Good evening, everyone. Let's turn in our Bibles to 2 Timothy chapter 3 tonight. And if you're wondering why Pastor isn't here, he's actually pretty crook. He said he had some flu-like symptoms today, so he sent a text at about 12:30 this afternoon to me, Pastor Phil, and Gary, and said, I won't be able to preach tonight. Can one of you guys take it? And then all of a sudden, oh, I'm busy. Oh, I can't do anything. So I'm here because I apparently wasn't busy. No, I'm just kidding. It's a privilege to be here, and it's a privilege to open the Word of God tonight. But do be praying for Pastor. We do need him and his ministry, and obviously coming up to our anniversary service on Sunday, we desire him to be able to preach the gospel with power. I hope you've been praying about who you would invite to that, and for those that have already been invited. On the way here tonight, Laura was driving me, not because I'm old and I can't drive, but because she's on her learners. She's got about 13 hours out of our 100, I think. No, not that many. Oh, more than that. Wow, she's really getting there. And she said, oh, are you preaching tonight? I said, no, I'm not preaching. I'm teaching. I said, there's a difference. And I'm sure you know the difference. But she said, what's the difference? I said, well, preaching would seem to elicit a response from the people that you're talking to, but teaching is giving instruction and understanding and all that sort of stuff. So why do I say that? Because tonight I'm not going to give you anything that's going to try and make you do something. It's really just some instruction, some understanding, and hopefully just a little bit of an encouragement. I know Wednesday night can be difficult, and I was just saying in the back to my sister Jen that Wednesday nights for me are the most difficult up here. I don't know what it is. I'd rather a Sunday morning or a Sunday night or any other time, but for some reason Wednesday night just seems a little bit harder, probably just because it's midweek and, you know, people are tired and all that. But my desire tonight is just to give you something that would be a help, maybe for you, maybe for somebody else, okay? So we're going to turn to a few scriptures tonight, so get your fingers ready. They're not going to be coming up on the screen, so we'll just turn to a few. So we're going to start 2 Timothy chapter 3. And really, it doesn't matter how long you've been saved. You could be saved 5 days, 5 weeks, 5 years, 50 years. Sometimes you just need to be reminded of some basic truths. And that's really what we're going to look at tonight. And so, unfortunately, my mum's not here tonight because I'm actually going to give you the title of my message before I actually preach it or teach it. And it's this, it's God's character and how he speaks. God's character and how he speaks. And for most of us, this is nothing new, but like I said, a bit of a reminder. So 2 Timothy chapter 3, and my first point or my first note here tonight is that God speaks to you and to me through his word, the Bible. That's the main communication point that God has for Christians, is the Bible. 2 Timothy 3:16 says, all scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness. So really that verse is saying that he's given every single scripture, because it says all scripture, not some scripture, all scripture. Every single word is given for some portion, some part of being profitable for doctrine, reproof, correction, and instruction. So what is doctrine, reproof, correction, and instruction? Well, the Bible's been given to us for those things. Doctrine is really just what is right, what we teach to be right, what God says to be right. Reproof is really what is not right. So the Bible actually instructs us on what is right and what is not right. And then instruction is actually how to get it right. Correction is how to get it right. So if you know what's right and what's not right, then you'll know actually how to get it right. Why? Because the Bible says how to get things right. And then it's not just good enough to know how to get it right, you want to know how to keep it right. And that's the next part. That's the instruction. So God actually has given all scripture for those very things. And you think about it, that covers your whole life, doesn't it, as a Christian? Every single thing, every single issue that you come across, a question you come across, whatever it is actually found. The answer is found in here. And so that's why we open it tonight. That's why we put emphasis on the Bible. That's why we open it in our school. That's why we open it at youth group. That's why we open it at institute. That's why we open it at Charge Keepers. That's why we open it at young adults, because it gives us those four things, all scripture. We need it. We need to be ingesting it. We need to be living it, breathing it, understanding it. And so we actually need to be putting that focus on the Bible like it's our daily food. And so the word here, inspiration, it says all scripture is given by inspiration of God. Inspiration there actually means God breathed. It's the Greek word theopneustos, God breathed. He actually breathed these words into existence. He put his spirit in these words. And if you think about it, in Genesis, when God created Adam, what did he do? He breathed the breath of life into him. He breathed into his nostrils, and then man became a living soul. So God is the one who is able to make something that's a shell alive. And so you think about it, this book could just be a shell. If it's just words on a page, it could just be nothing. But God has breathed it. God has given life to it. God's given life for you and I to get from it. So my point, God speaks to us through his word. That's why we need to actually be getting into the Bible. You know, I'm taking one of our young adults through discipleship on a Wednesday night. Usually Greg and I will go and sit in the library and we'll talk about it. And I just kind of keep coming back to it. You just need to be in the Word. You need to be just taking it in. You need to be reading it, even if you don't understand it. Like, it should be our life. And so this is just something for us to remind ourselves on, like, if you're not reading the Bible, you need to be reading the Bible. If you are reading the Bible, you probably need to be reading the Bible more. I know I need to. So that's just the first point, that God will speak to us through his word. The second one is this, and I've said this before, I've said this in a recent message, that God will speak to you as a Christian through his Holy Spirit. So have a look in John 16. Sorry, I meant to tell you to turn there earlier. John 16. So God's going to use his word, the Bible, but he's also going to use his Holy Spirit that comes inside of us when we get saved. When we put our trust in Christ, we get the Holy Spirit living inside of us. So John 16, verse number 13, it says this, and this is Jesus speaking, "Howbeit when he, the Spirit of truth, is come, he will guide you into all truth. For he shall not speak of himself, but whatsoever he shall hear, that shall he speak, and he will show you things to come." I probably sound like a broken record, but the Holy Spirit will only speak what Jesus and God the Father have said already in his word. The Holy Spirit doesn't have his separate message. He will speak what has already been written in here. He will confirm to us what is written in here. Now, that should be a comfort for us as Christians. Why? Because I don't know about you, but I get thoughts in my head probably daily. And sometimes I'm not sure, is it me? Is it the Holy Spirit? Is it some other voice? Is it the radio in the background? But why is this a comfort? Because if there's something that doesn't line up with the Bible and you're hearing that voice inside your head, you can ignore it. You don't have to listen to it. You don't have to do what it says. If it's contradicting Scripture, it's not the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit will not contradict what is written in these pages. Does that make sense? So if you're thinking things that are contrary to the Word of God, it's not the Holy Spirit. Now, that's like a whole nother message to kind of unpack that. But I guess just for a little bit of comfort and a little bit of peace for us, and if maybe that you've got someone that you're working with or you're talking to, if they're thinking things and they're saying, hey, what about this and this? If it doesn't line up with Scripture, tell them it's not the Holy Spirit telling you that. I remember we had a man here for years and he came and spoke to Pastor Lloyd and he said something about, I think the Holy Spirit's telling me to leave my wife. And I remember Pastor Lloyd said, has anyone ever told you that the Holy Spirit won't tell you anything that is contradictory to here? And he's like, nah. And then after that, he had a complete peace about, okay, that's not the Holy Spirit. Now I need to, how do I love my wife? How do I work on that relationship? And that's what it should do for us, is give us a peace that, okay, it's not something that I have to listen to. And maybe you need to ask about, you know, get counsel on what you should do about those voices or those thoughts and things that might be popping up. But at the end of the day, if it's contrary to the Word of God, you can be assured that it's not the Holy Spirit. Okay, so God will speak to us through the Bible, through the Holy Spirit. The next one, Romans chapter 8. Let's have a look here. Romans chapter 8, just forward a few books. Romans chapter 8. And so my third note here tonight is that God does not condemn the Christian or put recurring guilt upon the Christian. God doesn't condemn the Christian or put recurring guilt upon the Christian. Notice how I'm saying on the Christian. Okay. Romans chapter 8, verse 1. Have a look here. It says, "There is therefore now no condemnation to them which are in Christ Jesus, who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit." So it's saying that there's no condemnation if you are in Christ Jesus. If you are not in Christ Jesus, well, condemnation does rest upon you. The Bible says that if you don't have the Son, then you're condemned already. But if you have Christ Jesus in your heart, you've asked Him to forgive you of your sins, you're a Christian now, there's no condemnation coming from God. But here's the thing, guilt, so I said that He doesn't put recurring guilt on you as a Christian. Guilt is actually a natural occurrence of sin. Guilt is not necessarily a bad thing. The Holy Spirit will use guilt to get you to think about what you've done if you've done something wrong. If you've sinned against God, then guilt is a natural occurrence after that. That's healthy. But you need to deal with it. And here's the thing. If you 1 John 1:9 it, if you say, you know, if you confess your sin unto God, guess what? He's faithful and just to forgive you of your sin. So guess what? That means He's dealt with it. That means that guilt is now dealt with. That sin is dealt with. And God is not going to bring that out of the grave and stick it in your face and get you to smell it and be all disgusted by it. He doesn't do that. There is actually one who does do that. Revelation, don't have to turn there, but Revelation 12:10 actually identifies who accuses the Christians to God. It's Satan. He's labeled as the accuser of the brethren, and it says that he does that day and night. So he's before God saying, hey, that person's no good. That person shouldn't be a Christian. That person is a sinner. And so he's the one that does that. God doesn't do that. The Holy Spirit doesn't do that. If you've asked forgiveness of your sin, God deals with it. He removes our transgression as far as the east is from the west. So God doesn't put recurring guilt on us, and He doesn't condemn us. 1 John 3:20, for if our heart condemn us, so there's another portion of us that can actually condemn us. God is greater than our heart and knoweth all things. You know that knoweth all things there is actually really important. It's saying if your heart can condemn you, because, you know, your heart is part of your soul, right? Your heart can think things that are not true and you know, think all sorts of stuff. Your heart can condemn you, but it says that God's greater than our heart and knoweth all things. What does God know? He knows that He's dealt with your sin. He knows that He's put your guilt aside. He knows that He's covered it with His blood. He knows that it's dead and gone and buried. He knows that. So we need to know that He knows that. So we can be comforted and know that if there's any guilt kind of coming back that we've already dealt with, it's not God doing that. I hope this is a help to you tonight. I hope it's a help just in the back of your mind, maybe if there is someone that you're working with, because these are basic things. These are basic principles, basic doctrines, okay? God knows you've been forgiven and released from guilt and condemnation. Next one, I think I've only got two more. Let's have a look at Psalm 103. We're going to have a look at a few verses in Psalm 103. This is a really good psalm. And, you know, you could do a whole message on it, really. Psalm 103. So my point here is that God never says or thinks evil about you. God never says or thinks evil about you. You know that God didn't purchase you and I off Temu? Who's ever bought something from Temu and then been disappointed by what you got? Yeah? Most of us? Yeah, definitely you, Danny. The things I see you get off Temu is crazy. But God didn't do that with us when he purchased us with his blood. He knew exactly what he was getting when he purchased us with his blood. Psalm 103, let's have a look. We're going to have a look at verse 8, verse 12, and verse 14. I'm just going to read them in succession. Verse 8 says, "The Lord is merciful and gracious, slow to anger and plenteous in mercy. As far as the east is from the west, so far..." Sorry, verse 12. "As far as the east is from the west, so far hath he removed our transgressions from us." Verse 14, "For he knoweth our frame, he remembereth that we are dust." Verse 8, God is merciful and gracious. What's our point? He doesn't think evil about you. He doesn't say anything evil about you. God isn't mumbling under his breath about how disappointed he is in you as a Christian. It says in verse 8 that he's merciful and gracious. He is merciful to the full extent of what mercy is. It's hard to like delve into that on a Wednesday night, just, you know, a few points kind of thing and we're done. But God's mercy is rich. God's mercy is deep. God's mercy is more than we really give it credit for. His mercies are new every day for every single person that's ever been alive. And it's to the full extent of what mercy is. It's not just a little bit. So if he's that merciful, do you think he's complaining about you when you sin? Some of you are probably like, yeah. He's not. He's not. He knows what he purchased. He knows that he purchased us, and he knows our frame, that we are dust. He knows we are dust. Sometimes we need to remember that we're dust and that he's merciful. But my point is that he doesn't think or say anything evil about you. He loves you. You're his child. You've asked him for forgiveness and he's given it. And his whole desire is that you would just become more Christ-like. He's not whipping you. He's not, like I said, he's not trying to make you feel bad for what you've done. He wants you to get it right and he gives you the instruction to do it. But he's not making you feel bad. He's not kicking you while you're down. So God never says or thinks evil about us. The last one here tonight is in Philippians chapter 4. Let's have a look here. Philippians chapter 4. Philippians chapter 4, and my point is that God wants you to remind yourself of what is good. God wants you to remind yourself of what is good. Philippians 4, verse number 8 says this, "Finally, brethren, whatsoever things are true, whatsoever things are honest, whatsoever things are just, whatsoever things are pure, whatsoever things are lovely, whatsoever things are of good report, if there be any virtue and if there be any praise, think on these things." Think on these things. Think on what? These things. What things? The things he just listed. God knows that our thoughts can get clouded. You and I know that our thoughts can get clouded, but that clouding of our thoughts actually affects our heart. And when our heart's affected, our emotions are affected, our actions are affected. Our testimony is affected. Other people are affected. And God understands that this clouding has that effect. So his instruction, because he knows us so well, why? Because he's our creator. His instruction is to meditate on what is good. To think on it. Think on it. Think on what is good. Think on what is helpful. Think on what is honest. You know, look at here in Philippians chapter 4, Verse 8 is sandwiched between verse 7, which references the peace of God, and verse 9 that mentions the God of peace. So verse 8 is the meat in this peace sandwich. He's talking about peace, and then he says, think on these things that are good, and then he talks about being the God of peace. What do you think he's getting at? I think he's trying to tell us that we can have peace when we think on these things that he mentioned. He's saying he is the one who gives peace. How do you get it? You got to think on what is good. You got to meditate on what is good. Where do you find it? In his word, where we started. I mean, you might find it in some other conversation or some other things, but primarily, you're going to find it in his word. God wants us to have peace, and it's not the power of positive thinking. Like, if I just think on these things, then I'm just going to be all good. It's not that. It's filling up on truth, which kind of doesn't leave room for negativity, doesn't leave room for untruth. It's like you're filling yourself with all this good, and it's pushing out anything that's not good. Does that make sense? But it's God's goodness. It's not just anything good, like, oh, I love peanut butter sandwiches. I'll just think on them. No, it doesn't work like that. It's thinking on things that are helpful, things that will be healthy to your soul. God cares about your soul. Sometimes we don't care enough about our soul. But God cares so much about our soul, he says, this is how you take care of it. This is how you look after it. Think on good things. Where do I find them? In my word. 1 Corinthians 14:33, for God is not the author of confusion, but of peace. God wrote the book on peace. He didn't say to empty your mind, as a lot of other things in the world today will say. Empty your mind and, you know, you'll find inner peace. He didn't say empty your mind. He said fill your mind. Fill your mind with what is good. He didn't say go on a holiday to find it. Hey, a holiday's good. And sometimes you need a holiday. But just going on a holiday is not going to give you peace. Thinking on what God has said to think on will give you peace. Trusting in what he said will give you peace. Confessing your sin and knowing he's forgiven you of it will give you peace. So think on his truths. So those are a few things tonight about God's character and how he speaks to us. Obviously, there's a whole bunch more, but it's Wednesday night and I've already gone over time. Pastor Phil said I could only preach on what would fit on a post-it note. This is how big my post-it note is. But honestly, I hope this is a bit of a help and just a bit of a refresher, a bit of an encouragement. Like I said, maybe not for you, but maybe for someone else that you can run them through some of these things. So why don't we go ahead and pray, and then I'll hand over to Jewel and we'll hear a missionary report. Let's pray. Dear Lord, Heavenly Father, we do thank you for your goodness tonight. Lord, we thank you for helping us to understand your word. We thank you for your word, Lord, that it's able to bring us all of this understanding. It's able to bring us closer to you, Lord God. I pray that you would help us to walk in it, to grow in it, to learn it, Lord God, and to use it effectively as you've instructed us to. Lord, I do pray that you please bless Pastor, help him to get better, Lord God. Give him strength, give him energy, help him to rest as he needs to, Lord God. And Lord, we do pray that you please do a mighty work in his life and, Lord, each of us here tonight. Lord, we do thank you, we love you, and we ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen.